Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. Now, Pang Fu Wei is successor to the Pang Kim Hin Group, known for buying British baby goods brand Mothercare to Singapore. At 31, he is now managing director of Mothercare Singapore, but took no shortcuts to the role, starting out by understanding the business through stints in various departments, from accounts to warehousing. And he says humility and the art of managing people are the skills he's had to develop and which remain crucial to his role today. Conscious of his status as the chairman's son, he made sure to learn everything from the ground up in order to earn his role. Fu Wei joins us today with his entrepreneurial story. Thanks for joining us today, Fu Wei.
Hi, nice to be here.
First, tell us if you always wanted to be part of the business. I mean, was there a plan B? Did you want to maybe be a doctor? Most Asian parents want that for their children, right?
So actually, that was the complete opposite for me. Joining the family business was plan B. When I was in college, I was studying neuroscience and behavioral biology, and I felt that I found my calling.
Prior to that, did you sort of help out during school holidays and things like that?
Yes, I did. Throughout my entire youth, I've part-time in the stores, in the office, in the warehouse. So wherever my dad needed me, he basically just threw me work over the holidays.
When was it that it became, you know what, this is what I want to do, in the middle of university?
So there was no light bulb moment for me when I decided I wanted to join the family business. In fact, I thought that my calling was in research. When I was in college, I was studying neuroscience and behavioral biology, and I was a student researcher, and I was actually really enjoying my work. When I graduated, I actually told my dad that I was keen on pursuing this as a career. To his horror, he found out that basically getting an MD PhD would be another 8 to 10 years of study. So he dissuaded me to go down this path and basically just, you know, try working for the family for a couple of years. And if it wasn't something I was interested in, studying was always there for me. So I came back to Singapore, and actually 7 years on, I'm very much enjoying myself. And I think that looking back, I'm glad I took this path, and I probably would not have grown as much as I have if I did not join the family business.
Well, if you just stayed in a lab.
Yeah, you know, so it's completely different to what I'm currently doing. I did summer internships at A-Star, and it's completely different, right? You know, working in the lab versus running a business.
How do you think, though, your sort of research brain, if you will, helped you out as you started in the family business? Because you also devised a lot of specialty products and the strategies as well, sort of forward-thinking strategies to help the business out.
So I think that my science background has allowed me to process large amounts of data comfortably. Actually, one of the big things that I had to overcome when I joined the family business is to be a bit more comfortable with ambiguity. The problem with business is that if you know with absolute certainty this is the right decision, right, then you're probably already behind the curve. I mean, businesses are becoming increasingly data-driven, and I think that, you know, when I joined the family business, that is the sensibility that I brought on board. On top of that, to be truly successful in business, it also takes a bit of intuition. You need to work between those two areas in order to be ahead of the curve.
How challenging was it, though, to bring sort of your new ideas to the group, to the company? We've talked to a lot of SMEs who say sometimes it's challenging to get their people on board. This is the new way of doing things, and we really have to, say, digitalize, for example, or go with what's new.
At point in time, the current team that I'm working with, I have absolutely no problem spearheading all of the changes that I want. But definitely at the beginning, right, when I first took over the business, there were some major challenges. And I think that it was also a huge learning journey for me to think about, you know, what is right for the business and then how do I need to achieve it with the people that I have existingly. So some of the painful lessons that I had to learn, like, for example, is the existing team of people that you have within the organization might not be right. And sometimes you have to part ways. For my dad, right, he's of a completely different mindset. I think that
and all that.
Yes, absolutely. Loyalty is important to him. And he says that the moment you hire someone, you have a responsibility to take care of them. But for me, I think that, yes, loyalty is also very important. But sometimes the business and people just no longer align. And how you actually manage them out, how you talk to them about their performance, I think is the critical difference. You cannot just kick people out because you know, their time is up, or you feel that they're not performing up to your standard, that there needs to be a proper management process where you try to work together with them and you explain what the greater goal is, and you try to equip them with the skills necessary. And if you really cannot work to achieve the goals together, then I think a conversation must be had about the transition. Very important as well that you do this properly and fairly, because the rest of the staff are watching. And if you handle it badly, I think that then the trust between the management and the entire organization will be broken. So I think that one thing that I have changed since taking over the business is that I'm very much more performance-driven. And my dad says that, you know, like, very American in terms of my mindset.
Or a bit ruthless as well.
I wouldn't say I'm ruthless. Like, for example, I really think it's important to reward high performers. You know, in the past, also, when we do our performance appraisal and bonuses, right, if you were exceedingly good versus to someone who was below average, the variable between the worst and the best in terms of bonus was not that much. I felt that that was a little bit unfair. And I actually made the bell curve a lot more extreme. And the reason is because you want to over-reward your high performers. And in fact, I want to work with high performance teams. And basically, that's a lot of the things that I had to change along the way in terms of our evaluation process, the people that we bring in, and how we reward them.
So you mentioned how employees obviously will be looking to leadership for everything almost, and it's challenging times now. How are you keeping your own morale up?
The first thing I always tell my staff, right, is that, you know, we only want to worry about things that is within our sphere of control. There's no point stressing out over the wider economic situation. As long as we are subject to the same conditions as our competitors, all we need to do is to think about what we can do to ride out the storm and continue to identify opportunities along the way. A simple example of this is when the whole COVID crisis actually was unfolding, right? Mothercare actually has quite a diverse range of products. And we actually managed to bring in a lot more items which we won't necessarily carry in our range. So things like kids' face masks, we actually managed to get in one shipment before there was this whole lack of supply in the market. In addition to that, you know, we brought in more hand sanitizers, disinfectant wipes, thermometers, and we managed to get a huge amount of sales during the February period.
So that's something that was quite forward thinking.
Yeah, it was. And you know, and I also have a very strong team. So we were able to move fast. We were able to get the products in. We handed over the information to the marketing team. You know, we turned around the campaign within a matter of a week. You know, we were right at the front of the pack. So we managed to capture all of the sales. But of course, now we're beginning to regress back to the mean, and it will be a very challenging time for the rest of the year. I think it's these little small wins which allow you to gain the confidence of the entire organization, where they feel that actually, you know what, we're not sitting on our backsides during this time, seeing how things will come. But we try to identify, like I said, you know, these little opportunities and make sure that we're well positioned to take advantage of whatever is out there.
Once recovery hits, what do you think in the meantime you'll be doing in order to get ready?
Well, I mean, at this point in time, I think it's really about tightening our belts and really watching our cash flow. So, for example, I've delayed all non-essential projects. I actually had 3 planned renovations this year, and I wanted to renovate the office as well. But all of these plans are put on ice. I've told the team, we're going to plan to the last detail. And when we feel that we're about to turn around the corner, then we will start executing all of these projects. But that doesn't mean we're going to spend the money at this point in time. I think we just need to be a little bit more prudent with our capital. In addition to that as well, I've spoken to my buying team. We're starting on reducing our stock on hand, increasing our order cycle so that we ensure that our cash flow as well is better utilized. And we're also focusing more on entry price point items, because I do feel at this point in time, people will be trading down and shopping for the more value items. So another thing that we're working on internally is the overhaul of our entire tech infrastructure. And this is probably one of the biggest and most important projects that I'm working on. So we'll be changing everything from our ERP to our CRM to our website. Every single piece of technology is going to be replaced. And we are already in the midst of getting it done. So during this period, since sales are slow, I'm basically getting the entire team to really just focus on this particular project I think that when business is slow, we can also look at how we can trim down, focus on our processes, right? So when we come out at the end of this bad period, right, we'll be in good shape and able to scale up as quickly as possible again.
Peng Fu Wei, Managing Director of Mothercare Singapore. Fu Wei, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.